prayer. Taylor, thank you. And Michael, amazing. amazing piano player. And last minute, I asked you guys like, I think a week or 2 weeks ago to, you know, just to help me out before Pastor Hanju kind of takes over. And so thank you. I was really blown away by you this morning. And Taylor, you have an amazing, amazing voice. And so, okay. If you have your Bibles with you, if you could all rise with me, turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to do one sermon on the problem of evil, try to tackle that kind of heady topic, and then we're going to finish with the story of Joseph, with the book of Genesis, and then we're going to go to Exodus and Numbers, Deuteronomy. We're going to spend maybe one or two sermons in each book and go all the way through Matthew, okay, which is the New Testament, and continue into Revelation, maybe one or two sermons per book, okay? That's where we're going. Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. This is God's holy, infallible, inerrant word. Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand to take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he has taken. He drove out the man at the east of the garden. At the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed a cherubim of a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let me pray one more time and ask for God's help. If you could join me and also pray for me. Pray for this time. Let's pray. God, you are our Father, and we are your sons and daughters, your children. And we need your help right now. A natural man cannot, with their finite mind, understand your deep spiritual truths about Jesus. The tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I pray that you would help us to get a hold of this mysterious tree. I pray now, and where we have come now, give us understanding, knowledge, and wisdom, I pray, to the young minds and older minds and everywhere in between. We need your help. We need your mind. And we need your eyes. Now, I pray. Help us. Please do not leave us to ourselves. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. This morning is going to be a little bit heady, so I need you to put your thinking caps on. And I want to talk about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Second, I want to talk about the problem of evil. From a lot of young folks, maybe people who have challenged you about evil in this world, and maybe some of your people who try to question your Christianity or God has stumped you with that question. So, tree of knowledge, good and evil, problem of evil, shame and curse, and then the application will be Jesus, the mind of Jesus. Here we go. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Remember, there was two trees, the tree of life. Okay, and don't ask me why he put it there, the temptation, I'm not sure. But there it is, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I already talked about what tree of life was last week, the tree of knowledge of good and evil was put in the middle of the garden. The good and evil in the Hebrew is not necessarily mean just morality. It can simply mean whatever pleases us or whatever we don't like poverty and disease. That word, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, bears a whole range of morality to hedonism. Likes or dislikes, whatever pleases you, whatever displeases you, in that range. Therefore, to actually get a hold of this tree, you have to focus on the word knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, what it involved knowing what it would be good for someone and what it would be bad for someone. Most people know that experience, the fact that what can be good for someone can be bad for another person. Like peanuts, anyone allergic to peanuts? I love peanuts. But to some people, peanuts, you know, make them choke and even die, you know, because they're allergic to peanuts. What could be good for someone could be bad for another. Winning the lottery, you know, right? I don't know what the lottery right now is. To win millions, okay? Generally, winning the lottery is what? A great thing. And yeah, usually those who win lotteries, not all, but mostly seems like they go bankrupt. I mean, how can you win millions? You know, professional athletes who have an MBA, not all, you know, MBA to baseball to football, and you see them on ESPN, and they're bankrupt. How can something as money, millions, could lead someone into bankruptcy and ruin as a result? What about discipline and training? Everyone hates it, right? Anyone here love discipline and training? No one likes it. I mean, look what the Bible says. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Discipline is not good. We don't like it. Your children don't like it. We don't like it. If your boss disciplines you, we don't like that. It's unpleasant. But what later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. These are a few examples of life either being good or bad, depending on one's point of view and the situation in life. That is why Solomon, who was the wisest person in the Bible, describes life as the ebb and flow of events, resources, constantly changing our lives for good or ill. For everything, quote, for everything, there's a season. There's a time for every matter under heaven, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. And if there's such stark consequences involving in simple things of life, what about the great issues involving God's kingdom? The organization and ruling of many people around the world. I mean, who therefore is equal to the task of knowing what would be good or bad for them? I don't want to talk about politics, but I'm going to do a little bit, okay? You know, I listen to the news a little bit. And news, there's always politics, especially right now, Trump being president, you know? And there's, like, fights between the Democrats and the Republicans. And, you know, should we have, like, Medicare for all? You know, Ocasio-Cortez and the Democrats and the Republicans were saying, no, that's bad, you know, socialism. And I'm like, who is right? I mean, who can best do all that in the wisdom that they need, right? And they have all these back and forth arguments, you know? I feel like there's something in between, at least in my opinion. I'm not sure if Republicans are, like, right about Medicare for all or, you know, capitalism. I mean, I love capitalism, you know? Capitalism make things, like, lower price. like in LA. I lived in LA for five years. And haircuts there are like $8-9. Come to here, or like in Chicago, it's like $25 for a men's haircut. So I mean, I'm all for capitalism, put costs down, but I mean, you know, who has the equal task of doing all these things? I'm not sure man has that wisdom or knowledge to do so. The only person who has that capability is God himself. Only God can know such things. God decides. He is the judge. He alone tells us what man and woman need. And therefore, God told Adam, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What is good for you? This tree is not good for you. If you eat of this tree, you will die. And remember last week what Eve and Adam did. It is good for me. See, they start deciding. She decided. Man decides. The standard is not God anymore. The standard is man. If you eat of this tree, you will surely die. Man was not to sit on the throne of the world. The place is reserved only for God, the judge who can rule with justice and wisdom. If a man made in the image of God, though he was, took this fruit, he would make his own judgments of what is good and bad based on himself as a sole standard, since he doesn't have overall perspective like God does, or the wisdom or the knowledge, the depth of knowledge. You know, God, I'm doing a little philosophy here, but God, he sees history and everything is now for him. Everything is present. He sees all history now, every detail. We don't even know what's going to happen next second in our lives. The problem of evil. Philosophers and theologians have struggled since the beginning of time. I'm sure maybe you struggle with beginning of time to account for the problem of evil. The problem is this, and you guys maybe heard of it, maybe you know non-Christian friends, or maybe you would ask this question. How could evil happen in a universe made by a good God who has all the power? Yeah? How can evil happen? We see evil everywhere. Just turn on the news. Someone is killing someone, you know? Terrorism, that's evil. Racism, that's evil. What's happening? How can evil happen in a universe made by a good God who has all the power? Didn't he have the power to prevent it? Was he a weak God? That's not true. Our God is powerful. He speaks and things exist. He doesn't need material. He just needs material who's nothing. And he speaks and things exist. He's powerful. He's not weak. Couldn't he prevent evil? Wouldn't he have made sure that it couldn't happen if he were truly good, the fall of man? If God was truly good, why did he let man fall? And we got problems. Because we are offspring of Adam and Eve, who made their own judgments about what is good and bad. See? And that's what we do now. But this false dilemma partially exposes when we realize that God created Adam and Eve, the creatures, with a free will. I need you to put your thinking caps on here, okay? Adam and Eve, man, were truly free agents. The most free agents. They were not coerced. You and I, the Bible says, we are not slaves to righteousness or slaves to sin. That's not Adam and Eve. They were free. Completely free. 100%. In a world made by God, free will only makes sense if we define it as free to choose God. If we are free to choose evil, that is not freedom. That's not true freedom. True freedom, true free agents, free will that Adam and Eve had, it was not coerced, free to choose God. I mean, would they choose anything else? God is the source of all good things. God was their father, and Adam and Eve was their son. And Adam had free will, true freedom, to choose, not evil, but to choose God. If you had the option to choose evil, that is not freedom. To choose sin, that is not freedom. That is bondage, actually. Free to choose evil only reveals bondage, not freedom. Which means men and women were truly independent agents. Free agents freely to glorify God. They were made that way. On a more profound level than stones and trees, even animals could do. Stones and trees and plants and everything else, they glorify God by their design. They're just tree. You know what I mean? They're just plants. But Adam and Eve, they were able to freely choose God, not coerced. But if it's a willing and passionate focus on God, the love of looking at God, glorifying in Him, enjoying Him, not coerced, but freely. And when they do that freely, that's the true wonder and the glory of God's creation. You know, I know I kind of brag about my kids, you know, wanting to do Bible study. You know, it's like, Daddy, can we do Bible study? But I know their hearts. You know, when we do Bible study and I ask them questions, you know, who made you? Well, why did God make you? And they all say, God made me to glorify God. And then you know what I do after? They say the right answer. I give them an M&M. Okay? I give them all like a little treat because they got the right answer. Nothing wrong with that. But it becomes really wrong when they're wanting to do Bible study because they want that treat. See? Not because they really love God and want to learn about God. And of course, my five-year-old, he's smart. You know, I asked him, do you really want to do Bible study because you want this M&M? It's like, no. You know, like, I don't want to really do it because God. When we don't want God, something has gone terribly wrong. I'll say it one more time. When we don't want God, when we don't want to spend time with Him, I mean, just think about it. God is the ultimate good. He's your best friend. He's your best husband who does no wrong. and for us to not want to spend time with that person? Does that make sense? Not want God or want something else more than God or desire? Something has gone terribly wrong. That's in you and that's in me. We start making our own judgments of what's good for us. The problem of the current state of the world is not that God allows sin to happen. But it did happen in the light of the invaluable position that these free agents, Adam and Eve, had. They had complete access to the source of all things. And yet, they chose freely not to want that and to want what they wanted. If you could answer that question, why would someone do that? They were made in the image of God. They knew and communicated, had a relationship with God, who's the source of all things, and they knew it. Source of life, source of joy, source. And they knew it, and yet they chose something lesser. Why would someone do that? Why? If you could answer that question, then you're getting to the root of the problem of evil. It's not God's fault. Man did this to himself. Man did it. We always blame God, you know? How come if he was powerful, why could he do this? God didn't do it. Man did it. Man chose this and not God. That's crazy. And now you and I are like that. You know, I wish every morning when I wake up, okay, and when I do my business, I'm like, God, you are so awesome. You are everything I need. I don't do that. Do you? Most of the days I don't do that. There's a problem there. Our thoughts are going everywhere else but God. I know that's a normal way that we live every day, but that's because of this fall. This vast fall. It's a struggle for me, and I'm sure for you, to seek God every day, every moment. Just to give thanksgiving to God, you know, throughout the day is a chore for most of us. As far as God is concerned, the whole universe could have been perfect and stayed that way forever. Sin is not his fault, nor his doing. Remember, God made man like father and son. This wasn't a master-servant relationship or God and angels relationship. Their relationship was a shadow of an image of the deepest father and son relationship within the Trinity itself. There's complete openness, complete love and faithfulness between them. As God knew and loved man, so man was created to know and love his God. And in order to do this, man was made in such a way that he would love God freely, not coerced. Freely to choose God. The son will walk with his father and never leave him. For this to be a real and meaningful relationship, dependence and love must be again freely given and freely, willingly received. which also means that this relationship is fragile. Because look at what man did. He chose to turn away from God and choose the fruit and not listen to God. How could man have turned away from God, seeing that his very life depended completely on God and staying with God, living with God, fellowship with God? Guys, the fact of the matter is, we do this every day. We choose other things than God. I know that's true in you, because it's true in me. Why aren't we so interested in God? How come? If you could answer that again, you could answer why these sinless free agents fell in Genesis chapter 3. But they fell, and then shame and curse happened. I don't know how to talk about this, but we need to talk about it because the Bible talks about it. Curse fell upon man, first fell upon woman, and the curse fell upon serpent. In that order, or I think man, woman, man, and doesn't matter what order is. But curse, the Bible actually uses the word curse. Cursed is the woman. Cursed is the man. Cursed is the serpent. The whole world is on God's curse. What was good is now cursed. Because, and the culprit is, again, it's not God. Can't blame God for this. It's solely on you and me. It's on man. We chose to turn away from God and choose something else that we think that's good for us. Which end up, of course, they made a mistake. A big mistake. And we do this every day. When an iron is in the fire, it glows red. You take it out of the fire, what happens? It's a murky black. That's what happened to man. That's why they're covering themselves. Because they were glorious. They were beaming with light. They're glorious creatures made in the image of God. And now they are ashamed. Because now they're hot iron to a murky black. And they knew it. They knew it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I said in my heart, with regard to the children of man, God is testing them that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. What happened to the children of man and what happened to the beast is the same as one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beast, for all is vanity. All go to one place, all are from dust to dust, all return. Did man have no advantage over the beast? Of course they did. They're made in the image of God. The beasts weren't. They were glorious creatures, beaming with light. And when they decided, this is good for me, at that time, they lost all glory. And they're feeling shame now. They try to cover their weaknesses. Isn't that right? We try to cover our weaknesses. We try to cover our blemishes. We try to look to other people how great we are. That's how we are now. You guys know there's married couples, right? Some of you guys are, your youth could identify with this too. You know, when you're meeting someone for the first time, when you're dating someone, what do you show? Do you show your weaknesses? Do you show that you pick your nose? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? No, we don't. We show our best behavior. We don't yell. We open the door. You know what I mean? And then after marriage, your husband and wife start seeing that that was not all about you, right? Because you try to cover those weaknesses. And you have thought this, I bet. I have thought this. You know, this is a little bit different than the person that I've been dating for the last year or 2 years. I see more weaknesses now. You know, I see warts. That's how we become. That's who we are. We tend to hide in shame, hide the weaknesses because of the curse. We did this to ourselves. Again, the worst part of the situation and the problem of evil is that the son, who are made in the image of God, failed his father. Failed his father. That's a tragedy. The son threw away glorious relationship and revelation of God because what he wanted glory. He wanted to be like God. He wanted power. Right? That's what happened. He wanted to be the center of the universe. If you eat of this fruit, serpent said, you will be like God, making your own judgments of what's good and bad. You are the king. You are God. You are the destination of your life. And that killed us. We left what was so good. We left it. I see that in me. I see that sin in my kids. You know, this past Sunday, I asked my son, I'm almost done, okay? Promise, and I'll give the application. And my son's been into like who's stronger? He asked me, you know, Daddy, is rhinoceros stronger than a hippo? You know, it's like he's into like power and strength. Is tiger stronger than a lion? And I'm like, I think lion is like not as heavy as a tiger. Tiger's heavier, so I think a tiger will win. And then he'll be like, what a peregrine falcon, you know, if he goes against with a harpy eagle, who will win, you know? And I said, and I entertain him. I said, do you know who will never lose? I mean, this person will never lose. He's the strongest, most powerful thing in the universe. If he fought anyone, he will never lose. Never. And I was like, who is this? It's on the way from home, okay? It's like, well, you got, you know. It starts with a G. It's three letters. It's like, oh, Dad, I'm tired. You know, he guesses. Like, is that like Iron Man? I'm like, no, it's not Iron Man. He's like, is that Lion? I'm like, no, it's not a lion. He got tired. And, of course, I didn't give him the answer. I give you two. He goes, can you give me a hint? I said, such was a G, it's three letter. And after several minutes, he was getting tired. Of course, I want to give him the answer. I want him to know the answer. And then on the way home, he goes, God? That's right. And he was blown away. He was blown away. God is the strongest. He could never lose. 10,000 rhinos, he'll never lose. That's because of his sin. Adam would immediately, before sin, he would immediately know God is all powerful. There's nothing compares to God. Nothing. The reason my son and you and I are like that, we so get easily wooed by small things in this world. And we would readily decide and choose everything else but God all the time. Is because we are fallen. We are fallen. There's a curse on us. But of course, the story doesn't end there, right? Okay. It's a pretty bad news. There's another man named Jesus. you know, you parents, you need to teach your kids this. What I try to do with my son, God sent Jesus in his image. Jesus was the image of God. And in him was life, and the life was men, the light of men. Parents, adults, the best thing that you could give to your kids, the best thing that could happen to you in your life is that you know Jesus. All the education that you could accomplish or could give, it means nothing. Listen up, please. All the possessions, all the cars, all the houses, everything that you, all the retirements you have, if you don't have Christ, it means nothing. You have nothing. All the sports lessons and the music lessons, I mean, those are all good. You know, my kids are doing soccer lesson and swimming lesson. Yeah, those are good stuff. But all those mean nothing if they don't have Christ. That's the best thing that you could give anyone, anyone. And here's a conclusion. I'm almost done. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. It says this. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but he himself to be judged by no one. In verse 16, here's the application. For who has understood the mind of the Lord? Remember, who has understood the mind? Remember, in the beginning, Adam and Eve had communication, relationship, access to God's mind. And they made judgments through God's mind. They had that ability, though they rejected it. And we are here now, and they says here, Jesus, through faith in him, it says, Christians, who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? Question. And then Paul says, but, Christian, we have what? The mind of Christ. Jesus is reversing the curse. Adam, the first man, rejected the mind of God, even though he was given that ability to do so freely. And we're on a curse. And then Jesus comes in flesh, and he gives us the mind of God. So now we think like Jesus. He has given us everything that we need so we could walk and think and do like Jesus did. But that's good news. He has not left us to ourselves, to what we want to do with our lives. He has given us information, the mind of Jesus. If you're a Christian, if you're one with Jesus. That's what happened to me. I didn't like God. I don't even like Jesus. He was boring to me. And all of a sudden, in a matter of months, it wasn't coerced. It wasn't because my parents told me to go to church. I really wanted to go to church now. God changed me, and he has changed you because he has given you his mind. And now you know what's good and what's bad. He is directing your life. Follow Jesus, right? Follow him. He has given you the ability to follow and know what he has for you and me. He's directing us, the church. Let's pray.